Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio today for the Coaches Show. It's our last Saturday. It's starting at 8:30. Next Saturday we'll begin at 9 o'clock once again. But, we will have head coach Molly Hennen of the Lochaber Valley boys volleyball team on next Saturday to wrap up the boys volleyball season after it fell to Bunnell St. Margaret on Thursday at Bunnell St. Margaret, 3-0 to end their fantastic season. And we'll talk with Coach Hennen in the Coach's Show next Saturday. Meanwhile, we'll start out with golf, take a break here, and we'll come back and hear from head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lochaber Valley boys golf team.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson with some delicious deals. Stop in and grab yours while supplies last. The Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 1, and they're closed Sunday and Monday. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, where we're going to turn our attention to Lochaber Valley boys golf with head coach Barry Bessonen. They had their section tournament up at Eagle Creek in Wilmer, and some beautiful weather there, Barry.
We got two good days. The second day, of course, was extremely warm, probably the hottest we've ever had for a section tournament, I would say. By the time we were done, we were over 90 degrees, I think, when I got in the... We got in the vehicle and left, driving down the driving into Wilmer to eat. It was registering about 95, 97.
Oh wow!
On the thermometer in the car, how accurate that is, I don't know. But it was warm. There wasn't a lot of wind moving either.
Nope. Yep. Okay. Well, it's actually a 2-day tournament. Why don't you tell us about the last day then?
Okay, so we came into the day, we were in third place, we were 20 shots behind Central Minnesota Christian and 17 behind Dawson Boyd in third place, and we were ahead of Benson by about 8 shots, and coming into the day, I think the goal was just for everybody to, try and be a few shots better than they were the day before, the previous week, control we can control, and we were able to do that as far as 5 of our 6 players all getting, improving from what they did the previous Wednesday, and as a result we ended up shooting a 329, which in section play isn't too bad. The big thing too is that our back nine, we had a season low. I think we shot about a 158 on the back nine, which in the section tournament to do that was pretty good. So we finished really strong on the day for us. We still ended up coming in third, although we Central Minnesota Christian kind of ran away with it. They ended up winning by 27 over Dawson. They shot 318. They had a great day.
Was that kind of a surprise for you, Central Minnesota Christian? How'd they do last year?
They got third, I think, the last couple of years. We knew they were going to be good because they've had the same group of kids that have been kind of rising up over the last 2 or 3 years. They got 4 juniors, and 3 of those, their top 3 players are juniors. It was just a matter of when they would put it together and kind of all start scoring at the same time. And they did this year and had a great year. I think they could compete, for a chance to, get on the podium down there at the state. And of course, like you said, with 4 juniors in their lineup, they're going to be, pretty formidable next year too.
Right.
But, so as I said, told the kids, that's a target is to go after them next year. But they were able to run away with it. They went at a 27, and they're winning by 20. I think it was 30 shots over Dawson Boyd, 638 to 668. We were at 669. We made up 16 shots on Dawson Boyd, so we almost pulled ourselves into second. And actually, with about 2 or 3 holes to go, we had passed Dawson. But then we just had a couple of bad breaks. Obviously, you know, the kids didn't really know where things stood like I did. But then, you know, a couple of bad breaks, and Dawson was able to get us by one shot for that second place trophy. But you know, very, very pleased with our lineup for, you know, making up as much ground as they did, and you know, playing hard all the way to the end. You know, even though, you know, knowing that you know, first was kind of out of reach, but you know, they played hard all the way. And then Benson came in fourth. They ended up 699, so they were 30 behind us. They were the fourth place team in the section, as only four teams play on the second day. Individually, for us, we had you know, we were led by Griffin Kranz, who placed tied for fourth overall. Played great golf, other than getting one bad swing, he said, which kind of resulted in a tough hole, but in a bad break to go with it, from what I was told by people watching. Actually, my son was watching, and he said, "Yeah, the ball could have bounced three different ways, and it chose to bounce the one way that was the least positive." And other than that, you know, he played great golf. Shot 78.
Wow.
So he ended up tied for fourth. So he will advance to the state tournament. We had Noah Arndt, who placed 10th overall in the tournament. He was the first man out of the qualifiers for the individual field for the state. But there was about an 8-shot gap between him and the fifth qualifier. So it wasn't like it was, you know, something where it was a nail biter. There was a pretty good gap in there. But Noah shot 83, finished with 170 to place 10th. Caden Stender shot 87. Put him in at 172 for the 2 days, placed 13th. Actually, Aaron Bond, a jump ahead, Aaron Bond placed 11th right behind Noah at 171. Aaron went with 82 on the second day, including a career low. He shot 37 on the back nine, so he was one over. And Aaron was kind of kicking himself because he said he three-putted his last two holes. He had a chance to break par for that back nine, and Aaron played really well, as he has the last probably 3 or 4 weeks of the season, really improved, and, you know, excited to see where he goes with the progress he's making. But he placed 11th, and I mentioned Caden was 13th. Grant Bierke placed 15th. He shot 86. So a two-day total of 175, and then Harris Borstead rounded out the lineup, shot 94, which placed him 31st in the tournament to round out our individual field. 149, congrats to him on winning that. Shot 70, went 73-76. He had a one-shot win over Joseph Graves from Central Minnesota Christian at 150. Joseph had the round of the tournament. Second day was one under, 71, and then Connor Larson from Benson, eighth grader, was third at 152. And then Griffin tied with Carson Stratmona, Dawson Boyd for fourth place at 157. Also qualifying individually, the fifth individual qualifier, in addition to Evan, Connor, Carson, and Griffin, was Trevor Anders, a freshman from KMS, who shot 162. So those were the five individuals, along with the six CMCS players.
Right. Okay, well, congratulations to Griffin Kranz. He puts a lot of time in golf, doesn't he?
He works hard at it. He's very committed. You know, it's kind of his.
What's his strength, Barry? What's his strength on the golf course?
Very good chipper, very good putter. You know, okay. Thinks the game well. He wedge player is good. He's all parts of his game are improving, but definitely, you know, you get him around the greens, and he's pretty solid.
Right, good. Well, outstanding season again for the boys' golf team, and Pebble Creek is now, what, 2 weeks, right, for state?
Yeah, June 9th and 10th will be the actual tournament. Okay. You know, we go up a little before that and practice, and there's a banquet the night before the first day.
Okay.
So there's a few things. Kids get treated pretty well, and it's a great event.
It is.
You know, from having been there for a number of years yourself.
Yep, it's a great event. They do a great job at Pebble Creek and Becker.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I had a chance to visit with your son, Carson. Carson was there at Eagle Creek on Wednesday, and got a chance to visit with him, and he had a great college golf season with Northwestern there down in the cities, and he's working up on a golf course at, what, Spicer, is it, or?
Yeah, he finished up school. He got hired. He's working for Tepatonka Golf Course, which is the new golf course that has been developed north of Willmar, kind of west of New London Spicer. It's just off Highway 71.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you've heard anything about it, it's a little different type of course in terms of membership and that sort of thing, and they've got some pretty well-known people affiliated with the course as far as investors and promoting it.
Nice.
Jim Nantz being the big one.
Oh, wow.
And so he's working on some of the grounds. They're actually not directly on the course, but on some of their other properties that they have that are with the course, where he's doing, you know, maintenance, mowing and that. The course itself, I think, is they're looking to open up, you know, for a little bit of play and starting in mid-August and then go for a full opening next year. But it's been quite a development that they've got going, and it's amazing when you hear about all the things they're looking to have going on with it.
Wow.
But it doesn't sound like it's anything you or I are going to get on anytime soon. So I think it's pretty private. So.
All right. It's fun to visit with them. All right. Probably we'll take some time and wrap up the season next Saturday then. Do you have your banquet scheduled yet?
We have not scheduled our banquet yet. We'll probably take care of that probably shortly after the state tournament concludes.
Right. So. And I'll be at the state tournament covering everyone in our area. Got quite a few golfers. Minnesota boys team, Dawson boy girls. They played outstanding again.
Yep.
And we'll be following them. So.
All right.
Thanks, Barry.
You bet.
Yeah, Barry Besson, head coach of the La Caprile Valley golf team, boys golf team. We'll take a break and be right back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
The Memorial Day sale on Beautyrest Sure to Perfect Sleeper, Eye Comfort, and Beautyrest Black Mattresses is now on at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Save up to $1,000 off select mattress and adjustable base sets. Save up to $900 on the Serta Eye Comfort Pro. Get up to $500 off the Beautyrest World Class. Beauty Sleep Quilted Medium Eurotop Queen Mattress, just $499. Check out 30-plus floor models, 3-level showroom, free delivery and setup, and free financing at America's Mattress Gallery, Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison. Hurry in, the sale on for a limited time only.
Lee Motor Company in Dawson says graduation is an exciting time and marks both an ending and a beginning. It's warm memories of the past and big dreams for the future. This graduating salute comes to you from Lee Motor Company in Dawson.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with Kip Stender, head coach of the La Caprile Valley girls golf team, which completed section play at Eagle Creek in Willmar last Wednesday, and Kip's here to tell us all about it this morning. Good morning, Kip.
Morning, Paul.
Yeah. Kind of a warm Wednesday at Eagle Creek in Willmar last week.
Yeah, it was a real nice warm day, and got actually a little hot, but we had the girls hydrating prior to that, so they did pretty good, but it was a swelter. First the whole 18 holes in 90 plus degrees most of the round, so they did well.
Yeah,
so.
Molly told me after that, you know, she got kind of tired the back nine because of the heat, so
yeah, it really takes, you know, it's emotional and mentally and physically, you got all three things combining there in a long 5-hour round, and you know, she's in a position to, you know, to possibly win it, and so that extra pressure and things, so it just helps make her stronger for state and see what she can go down there and do, and team wise we finished third. We were two strokes out of Community Christian for second place, and Dawson Boyd won it with a 694, which is a real awesome score. It's a real good score, so they got a good solid team, and they'll represent the section very well at state and the conference, and do very well down there. But Benson was fourth, with an 818, Lacaparo third with 750, Community Christian 748, and like I mentioned, Dawson Boyd was the 690, better flip back here, 694.
Mm-hmm.
So individual wise, the medalist on the day was Alyssa Swedinski with a two-day total of 160. That was six over on the round last Wednesday. Molly finished second with a 163. Hope Reed from Community Christian was third with a 168. Heather Yamlin was fourth with a 169. Laura Schreier, fifth with a 180 from Dawson Boyd. Peyton Sachs was sixth with a 181. Anel Alyssa Larkins from Community Christian shot a 183 for seventh. Claire Stratmon was eighth with a 185. And Kate Alstead was ninth with a 186. So qualifying for state was Molly Halverson, Hope Reed, Peyton Sachs, Annalisa Larkins, and Kate Alstead. So Kate did an awesome job. She was quite a few strokes back heading into Wednesday and started off with a not-so-great hole, but she kicked it in and did well to finish strong. So she was three strokes ahead of the next potential competitors. So we'll have three girls going to state, and then rounding out the Eagles in 21st place was America Avila with a 220. Harper Bala was 23rd with a 234, and Micaiah Thompson with a 236 was 24th. So that concludes the regular season and the section to Double Creek and Becker. The girls will golf on the 9th and the 10th. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday. And we have the banquet on Monday the 8th in the evening, so they'll be recognized for academics. Both Kate and Molly will get the senior academic award at the banquet. And then if any of the girls are all state, they'll be recognized there. And other recognitions. So they're fired up. Taking three girls, and we'll go down and see what they can do individually and mm-hmm. play well and have fun. And they've been there before, all three of them, so it should be...
Molly's been there, she told me, this 6 years or something? She's been there every year, I think, since seventh grade, hasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, seventh grade, she was on the team, and I believe we won it that year. Mm-hmm. So she was on the team, and then eighth and ninth, I think the team went those 2 years also. But she placed individually in eighth and ninth grade.
Right.
And then it just missed placing the last 2 years. So I know she's got a goal to place and to do very well. And I think if she can relax which she does a good job of that,
Kate Alstead.
Get hot at the right time.
Yeah, Kate told me she was pretty happy Wednesday. She made the cut. To go to state.
Yeah, I think she's a little worried that, she was sitting back about 8-9 strokes and going into Wednesday and then started off with, four over, so that puts you back 12-13 strokes, but she fought back. She's a good golfer. She can golf well, and Peyton too, so all three of them, and if they kind of golf a little better than their average, they got a shot at placing down there. We come from a section with some very good golfers and conference with very good golfers, so just got to go down and
how do you get on the podium individually at state? I can't remember how many eight places. That's what I thought.
And then ties, so
okay.
They don't break ties down at the state tournament, so
right. All right, I'll be down there covering state golf, as I always do. One of my favorite events to cover during the year. It's always fun. They do a good job of organizing that at Pebble Creek, don't they?
Yeah. They got a nice crew that, shows up every year, and a lot of, retired at PGA help. So there's yep. helpers out on the course. If the girls have any questions on any rules or things like that, Pebble Creek does a lot of tournaments, so they're real good at running it. And,
right.
and so Dwight Lundin has been. I think he might be done with that now, but he's been a good help there for many years at the tournament also.
That's right. Just so they give me a golf cart. That's all I'm...
To not have people on cart.
Right.
So that's the state's goal. So.
Okay.
Kip, thanks for the report on the girls' golf team, and best of luck at state, and maybe we'll talk to you in a couple weeks and wrap up the season then.
Sounds good, Paul.
All right. Kip Stender, head coach of the Loughborough Valley girls' golf team. We'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show right after this.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join Bart Hill and me Saturday at noon for Section 3A baseball playoffs when the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks take on the Murray County Central Rebels in the winner's bracket. The winner of that game Saturday will play for a section championship game next week. First pitch noon from the Irish Yard outside of Milroy. That's Saturday noon, Dawson Boyd and Murray County Central in section baseball. Tune in.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick Newman has the day off. Well, not the day off. He's going to watch his grandson play in the section baseball tournament down in the city. So I'm soloing here with John Sherbs in the studio. We're going to talk track, Loughborough Valley Dawson Boyd track. And how'd your week go?
Well, it was a hot week, you could say. I think you got back to finding out what summer could look like if it stays like that. But it was a warm week.
No in between, windy and wet and cold to 90 degrees.
Yeah, you can't get one extreme. You can't balance it, and that's the problem. It's extreme one way or the other, and that was my concern going from conference to subsection to sections is what's going to happen. We're going to be 70, 60, 60, all of a sudden, boom, 90s, and that's what we saw on Thursday. And it was a warm one. It could have been worse. Thank goodness we had some cloud cover down there. It helped, but still, it was a very, very warm meet down there in Pipestone.
Yeah, knowing that it's warm, how do you treat that as an athlete then as far as hydration and make sure you're at peak performance on that day when it's going to be hot?
Well, we try to climatize. We try to get them hydrated early because it takes you about 3 days to hydrate, to stay hydrated coming in. So the good thing, we had practice on Monday, reminded them you got to keep sucking the water in, sucking the water in. Just the problem is you get too much water, you can filtrate out minerals out of your body, so you got to watch the over hydration part. But I always tell them to wear lighter colored clothes so you aren't getting zapped that way, staying off your feet, moving what you can. It's still mental, because it can be tough on kids. I don't care how strong you are, it can mentally eat you alive if you don't find a way to adapt to it. And you also have some kids that are fair skinned. Traditionally, fair skinned kids will struggle a little bit more in the sun. And so you got a lot of things you got to try to balance, and you try to give the kids the best information they can. It still comes up to them of, can they handle it themselves? And that was the biggest thing, was going into the week of what we're going to do. And, we had a lot of events where we spread out, and there's kids that were doing three events. And it can be a long day when you're sitting down in 90-degree temperature down there there's a little air down there, but again, it's still...
Is that in Pipestone?
It was in Pipestone. Okay. And so, it's a north-south track, and it was a little bit of some wind down there. Problem is, you can sit down there and bake down there, and you can be doing all you can and just... It's long, and that's the bad thing about the meet is it's nice if you could almost take a half the crew early and take the second half later. But again, then you're making sure everybody bus gets there, a lot of headaches, the cost of transportation. It's a lot of headaches to go through. So you try to balance it the best you can.
All right. Well, it's section three.
Section three.
Section three. And how many schools are involved in that?
20 goes about 20, 20 25, 20.
Oh, wow.
It's a big meet with a lot of different variety of kids.
Okay, good. All right. You got the results there in front of you, John?
Yep. Going in, we thought, our goal is to get, who could we get to state? That's your first decision, what you can do. And we thought three events was probably our best opportunities to get in. maybe a fourth, but again, it's still tough to do what you can. This section meet does very well at the state meet, and so you don't know what you get. We thought going in probably Britt in the eighth. She had won it last year. She was a top seed coming in, and, you know, thought she would be in that one. Then we thought, you know, Beckett Anderson could be in that triple jump just because, again, he's right in the mark. There wasn't, you know, again, some years, you know, when we had Brayson, there were some deep triple jumpers. This year we really didn't have that depth going into the section meet. So he was sitting right in the thick of things. And then the 4x4 girls would probably, it was our other one that we ran really, really well at the subsection meet. The question is, can we run it that well and then also come back? Because, again, a lot of the girls of the 4x4 were in at least one or two other events. So with that much sun and everything else, how they'll handle it. So, again, it's just, you just don't know where we're at. So going in, like I said, see what we can do. In the girls 100-meter dash, Emerson Erdman, she was 16th at 14.29. In the girls 200, Micaiah Poost was 15th at 29.93. And then Isaac Blum was 11th in the 200 at 24.32. Talia Hurston was 16th at 109.92 in the 400. 400-meter dash for boys. I thought Cale Tufto really, really put together a nice open quarter there. Looked very sharp, and probably that is probably his personal best of the year. And right off the top of my head, I think that is for his open. I mean, he's ran some really good splits in the 4x4, but he really had a great draw in the lane. He got to see everybody. He finished ninth with a time 54.55. Caden Brent, I believe, is also another personal bester. He finished 12th at 55.48. And you got to remember, we didn't have him for the first half of the season. Over the first half of the season, we really didn't. Oh, it was probably the week before the conference meet. We finally started getting him into running events, and he really started to grow. You know, if we can keep him healthy for one season, he could be a very interesting force. And that nice thing, he's only a freshman, so hopefully we can build off it for the next couple of years. Then Tara Callis was 13th at 55.57. 800-meter run, girls. Bryn was our shot. So that was one we had kind of thought to it again. You know, she had ran the 4x8 earlier. We conservated her in the 4x8. We changed our rotation to 4x8 because with that heat and everything else, I didn't want to basically have her hammer her 4x8 leg and then gas herself for later. So we kind of said, let's just see where we're at in for race mode. So she ran conservative 4x8. So coming back, looked a little nervous to start the first lap, and then the second lap, she just kind of took off, said, let's go, let's get this race going, and took control of the race and basically went all the way around and took the lead the second half and never really looked back at all. She went with a season best of 222.89. I think she can run a lot faster. She just really has not been in a race to really be tested. So, you know, hopefully we get another week out of her. We'll find out next week where she can be. Alexis Olsen in the 100 hurdles, she's finished 15th at 19.62. 4x1 girls ran their best. I mean, you know, they were the last one to get in. They still ran really well. I was happy with the girls handled themselves. They were 16th at 55.80. That was Macy Coyer, Kara Bamali, Emerson Erdman, and Julissa Ramos. 4x1 boys finished 7th, 46.52. That was Josh Webert, Isaac Blum, Elvis and Belfile, and then Mason Bothan. And again, the 4x1 boys really look good, and they've really been turning and gelling throughout the season. So that was really fun to see them, you know, to finish 7th in there and just to let them have it. 4x2 girls were 13th, 157.85, just a little bit off their personal best, but they still were in the hunt there and competed very well and had some nice drive going home, and they finished 13th with then Macy Coyer, Kara, and Emerson, and Julissa. 4x2 boys, changed the order just a little bit to see if it would work or not, and during practice on Wednesday, it didn't look very good. We were all over the place, early, late, early, 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 and it's just trying to get that consistency. But then finally, we got down there on Thursday, and I told the guys, I said, if it doesn't work, we're going back to the original four. You guys have to feel comfortable. You feel comfortable with the four running with your legs? And they ran really well. And they finished 8th with a 137.19. That was Isaac, Cale Tufto, Elvis, and Mason. Then going into the other one we thought we had a chance, 4x4 girls. Just, they have really, really gelled. You know, I've talked to a couple of our former athletes I've worked with Nikki and Swenson, well, Parody now, and then also Kaiser Friedley, and they said, what the heck did you do to the 4x4 girls? I said, they got it in their head. They wanted to run. And I had talked to them earlier. I told Mackay, and I said, it's going to come down to how you give us for a leadoff leg. If you give us a decent leadoff leg, put us in the hunt of things, anything can happen. But if we start off behind, we're in trouble. And she gave us just an outstanding leadoff leg in that 4x4. Now, I think it's still up at Christensen Broadcasting. You can watch that race. You can watch all the events that were still on their website, so you can go back and watch. And then watching that 4x4 girls just to watch what Poos gave us a leadoff. She ran her, I know it's her season best. It's darn close to her personal best. She led off with a 1:02, which is very, very impressive. It put us right in the thick of things because, you know, we were the third seed going in, and you only take top two. Then Chloe Glegge was second, ran just a marvelous race, too. All the girls ran great legs and just had some big-time marks in there. And Chloe kept us in the thick of things. We were sitting in second, going when we got to gave it to Sadie. And then Sadie closed the gap on the Canby girl and just kept inching closer and closer. Next thing you know, 100 meters ago, they're almost neck and neck going down the straightaway. And I had hollered at those, basically Chloe and Sadie. I said, you got to give Bryn a chance because Bryn's got enough turnover and she's got enough of that, you know, that moxie of she's not going to back down from things. And so got it. So basically we got the stick handed off to Bryn just half a step behind, right neck and neck with Canby. And Bryn took the lead maybe with about 300 meters, passed the girl, got in, on the front side with about 250 to go. And then the Canby girl down the straightaway came up, pulled, and actually was past her by about a stride and a half with about 75, 50 meters to go. I don't know, she just threw an extra dig and grunt to go home. She dug a little deeper, and next thing you know, she goes from being back a little bit to pulls away from her down the last 20 meters to get the victory for the girls. And the girls ran a 4:07.60. Basically, if you look at that's 15 seconds we've cut off in 2 weeks. And that's tough to do, but we just really, really believed each other, got into that, and just got into the mode. And so they'll get a chance to run the state meet, which is very impressive because, you know, we weren't expecting this. We thought we could be competitive. We just never and to also touch Canby. Canby is an elite team that we've watched for years and years. It's just been tough for heck to, you know, you're always like they're first, whoever's gonna get second and third. And just to be in that same time zone as them is just awesome to be that chance. So they'll get that look to go for another week and see what we can do. And then the 4x4 boys, I thought they ran really well. Not that they had one leg that was awful little, but I thought we still ran very competitive finish. Eighth there, that was 3:44.80. That was Kale to Beckett to Caden and to Tanner. 4x8 girls, we had two legs on, two legs off. It's, again, that's the thing is you're in the heat and everything else, how you handle it. And we did not get it is what it is. And they're kids and, you know, nothing is shamed towards any of the kids. It's just relay teams are very important when you have all four on the same page. All four have got to run their best at the right time, and that's your gamble when you put the relay. I mean, there was many times that we had Nikki in a chance to run a 4x4, or do we run her in the open? And it's just the trust and understanding, and Nick knew it. She's so much fun having a relay, but it's like going, can you rely on the other three to get the fourth one in? And that's always a scary thing. So, but again, we still ran a good time. They end up finishing eighth, 10:49.6. That was Talia Hursum, Micaiah Poos, Chloe Glegge to Bryn Glegge. Boys 4x8, they were basically the second from last team to get into the section meet. And they ran a season best there, just really bounced back, had a great run there. They finished 10th, 9:31.66. We had made change. We had to put Colin in because Colin was only in the pole vault. And so we just kind of, Kentaro wasn't in practice for a couple of days, wasn't feeling the greatest. So we ran Colin in there, and it was Colin, Rosendahl, Matthew Both, and Matthew gave us a great leadoff leg. He ran his, I think, near his season best right there in the eighth, and that set us up nicely. And then Tanner Callis and Armando was in there. Girls shot. Shayla Meyer finished 16th in the shot, 26 feet, 10 inches. Discus, she really had a nice discus. Really, I think she was only, I think, 2 feet off from state qualifying for standard. So she was right in the thick of things in the discus. She finished seventh, 112 feet even. High jump, we had Emerson and Sadie in the high jump. They know heights because what they do is they start at the 12th place mark coming in. Well, 12th place mark for both of them is their personal best. So you got to hit your best mark right away or you're not going. And that's the bad thing about it, but still a good thing. They competed. They had some good attempts at the height. It just didn't quite get over. Boys high jump, Jackson Hasted, he finished fifth at 5 foot 10. Had a great had two really, really good attempts at 6 foot. I think one he caught his landing gear, and I think the other one caught his butt. And afterwards he goes, yep. He goes, I didn't tuck my chin quick enough. If I tucked my chin better, he goes, I would have cleared it. And that's the learning process because, again, this is his first year off a track. And for a technique event like the high jump, you need the experience of doing that. So, you know, hopefully, again, get another year out of him. He'll be interesting what he can do, get a little more flexibility. He may be that one that can jump state standard of a 6 foot two. So he's there. He's got the build to do it. Pole vault girls, Sadie Rosendahl, she had to start at her personal best. She cleared 7 foot two. So that's you guys like that. She has 7 foot two. And I talked to Ben a little bit afterward. He said her next attempt when she jumped at 7 foot eight pole vault had some really good attempts at that. And that's, again, that's the learning process. Because, again, she just started this year vaulting. So, again, the technique is very important with that. Pole vault, Colin did not height at all because basically the height he started at is a personal best. But he went after it, and again, and that's a good thing. I think opening height for him was, was it 10 foot 2? It was either 10 foot 2 or 9'8". But he still competed and looked good. Again, it's just tough. You get no warm-up to get into that flow of it. Boys long jump, Beckett Anderson finished 11th, 18 feet 5 inches. That's a personal best for him. Triple jump for girls. Morgan Anderson really has had a season. Was this a year ago? So she got caught 2 years ago. She got in a jump off just to get to jump the conference meet. And now she is a person. She finished seventh in the section with a 33 feet 2 inch mark, and that is a personal best for her. Boys triple was our lone one. We were thinking what we had. Beckett put himself in the spot, had a really, really nice opening jump, so was sitting in second place for most of the meet, and then unfortunately in the finals, a kid beat him by 2.5 inches. You know, and Beckett had opportunities, just couldn't quite get that mark down, so he finished third. He was, like I said, 2.5 inches out from going to state. Well, he's a sophomore. Hopefully he can get some confidence and build for next year. He could be a force in that if he wants to, but he finished third. Caden Brent PR'd also. He made finals, and he wasn't even supposed to make finals. He finished seventh at 40 feet, 4.5 inches. Jackson Hasted, a couple of people asked after the race, was he hurt? He tweaked his knee at the subsection meet in the long jump. So we just said, let's warm up, and let's just see what you can do. And he basically scratched on his first one and just said, no, not going to take a chance to the high jump. And it helped him in the high jump. So kids ran well. I mean, did we have A game all the way through every race? No. You can't expect that. Just some kids handled the weather well, some handled okay, and some didn't. And that's just the way it is. So scoring-wise, boys finished with 18th place with 16 points. Girls were 12th at 25.2. So it was, like I said, it was fun. It was a challenging one with handling the heat, reminding them of the water and everything else. But I thought the kids really, really did well for what they could handle for the conditions.
Okay. State meet, when's that coming up?
State meet, they will both run prelims on Thursday next week. A runs at 3:30, so I'm guessing Brent will run the 800 about 5:15. Then the 4x4 girls will run probably about 6:30-ish, right in that area. Okay. They'll take nine in the finals. I haven't seen the marks, who's in, who's out. So, again,
is that next week or two?
That's
weeks?
Next week. Okay. That's next Thursday. Okay. That's St. Michael, Albertville. So I know the kids would love to have some people come down, holler at them, and just kind of give them a little support. I know it's a long drive for basically two races, but it's fun to have them and see what happens. And
so who are the state entrants again, John? I'm sorry.
Brent will be in the open 800.
Okay.
And then our 4x4 will all girls will also they run. So, okay. And that'll be basically Brent, Chloe, Micaiah, and Sadie. So That'll be fun. We've never qualified a girls 4x4 team. And like I told them afterwards, I said, you're only 2 seconds off the school record.
Oh, wow.
And the one girl Damon is Carrie Tollefson. So you got that with shooting that. So they're like going, well, I said, well, first thing we got is just get the finals. Well, how fast you run, we'll worry about that. But that's how tickled they were. They didn't believe how fast they ran.
Awesome. All right. All right. Well, best of luck at state. And then we'll probably hear it all about next Saturday.
Sounds good. Yes.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, John. John Sherb with Track. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll come back and hear from Scott Sawatsky on softball after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson with some delicious deals. Stop in and grab yours while supplies last. The Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 1, and they're closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports, join Bart Hill and me Saturday at noon for Section 3A baseball playoffs when the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks take on the Murray County Central Rebels in the winner's bracket. The winner of that game Saturday will play for a section championship game next week. First pitch noon from the Irish Yard outside of Milroy. That's Saturday noon, Dawson Boyd and Murray County Central in section baseball. Tune in.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Trigger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, the Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
All right, we're going to talk Lacaparo Valley softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, here we are wrapping up this. Well, I'm not going to wrap up the season today, but talk about section play.
Yeah, no more games left, unfortunately. We started off when we hosted our first two games, got our two W's, put ourselves in a good spot. We always talk about keeping that bonus life around for as long as possible. Once we got to the 23rd, that's where the crossover happens between North and South. And so we hadn't seen Wabasso, didn't know much about them. We knew that they were the one seed in the South, and they were the team that went to state last year. They had their pitcher back and their third baseman, who's tougher than nails, too, and a few other players. But anyway, we started off pretty solid. We had Ava DeLean in the circle. We had kind of a strategy going into it because we knew that they could swing it, and we were hoping that we could have Ava get through as much as possible, and she did an outstanding job for us. She got through four innings, gave up 10 hits, 6 runs, only 4 of them were earned, had one strikeout and one walk. So she did what we needed her to do. But we started off the game offensively really strong. Scored a run in the first, and then in the second inning, got a runner on, and Carson Whitnable had just connected on one, found the sweet spot, and hit her first career home run over the left field fence. To give us a 3-0 lead, and we were feeling really pumped and really excited, and I knew that our lineup could hit the pitcher that they had thrown. She's a good pitcher, but I felt confident in our sticks. Wabasso bounced back, scored a run in the second, and then just kind of gradually kept picking away. They
right.
scored two in the third to tie it up, and they had a bigger inning in the fourth, and scored four more in the bottom of the sixth. We did not help ourselves out defensively in that game. We had five errors, and when we get to this point, we can't. You know, there are just little things that I think what I talked to my assistant coaches about is we and the girls, we made the right plays, we just didn't execute them. So, like, we had a play where there was a ground ball to the left side, and they had a runner on second base, and we work on this where if it looks like that runner is going to try to advance to third, give a pump fake throw to first and try to catch them off guard. And we executed. We got them caught off guard, but then we just didn't have the touch on the ball that we needed to get it to our second baseman. Ball went by our second baseman. You know, just things happened there. And so it was kind of frustrating because we got to the point where we were making the right plays, just didn't execute, and mm-hmm. just things happened. So
yep.
we ended up losing that game 10-3. The offensive stats for the other thing is we brought Maya Mortensen in the last two innings, and we just thought the change of pace, Maya throws really hard, change of pace might be a good thing. So Maya threw two innings, gave up four hits, four runs, only two of them were earned, had two strikeouts and two walks. And then offensively, Aiden Bond was 1-for-3, Callie Kahn was 1-for-3, Eva Traeger was 1-for-3, Raya Borsted was 1-for-3, and Raya also scored a run. Callie Kahn also scored a run, and then Carson Whitnable, the big day for us, 1-for-2, scoring a run with the two-run home run. Callie Kahn also had a double in that game. So, you know, we did some things that I think would have given us opportunities. I knew that we were going to have to score runs in that game, and we just didn't quite get some timely hits when some opportunities were present and whatnot. So we lost that game 10-3. Took a game off to kind of rest, watch other teams play, and then Edgerton then beat McRae pretty handily. I think it was like 17-1 or something like that. So that's where it gets a little tricky, is we're coming off a loss. The team that we're playing is coming off a win.
Oh, yeah.
The emotions feel a little bit different for each team. And, you know, we've been on both sides of that, so... But we came in, Edgerton, we had Riley Clark started for us in this game. And Edgerton was a team that we played earlier in the year, and they beat us 4-1. We had Ava throw in that game, so we thought we'd change it up a little bit. Riley, she did exactly what we needed her to do. And again, we had talked to the pitchers ahead of time about just be ready, all hands on deck here, and we're probably going to do some things a little differently than we've done in the past, because we want to give these lineups some different looks and different movement with pitches. So Riley gave us the first 3 1/3 inning. Edgerton did score in the first, but she kept them down through the third inning. In the fourth, they got a little bit of some momentum going. Riley did end up with four strikeouts, had three walks, only gave up two hits, one run, and one of them was earned. But with the momentum that we had going on, we thought we're going to bring Ava in. And Ava came in and got us out of a pickle. I believe the bases were loaded with maybe one out or zero or one out. I can't remember for sure, Paul.
Uh-huh.
But Ava came in, got us out of that jam, pitched the rest of the game. We did give up runs, one run in the sixth and one in the seventh. Ava threw 3 2/3 innings, gave up two hits, two runs, both of them earned, had one strikeout and one walk. So we ended up losing this game 3-1. We played much better defensively, only had one error. We had 6 hits compared to Edgerton's 4 hits. Gally Khan led the way for us, going 2-for-4 with scoring a run. Matty Geiser was 1-for-3. Ashton Shelstead came in. She was 1-for-1, had an RBI. Araya Borstead was 1-for-3, and Carson Whitnable was 1-for-3. But again, we couldn't quite get things rolling offensively, and it does take that in these games. You know, you're going to see some better pitchers, and I didn't feel like it was pitching that we couldn't excel with, but it just, that's the way softball works.
Right.
Some days you have it, some days you don't, and we just didn't have it. So we ended up losing that game 3-1, and that was the end of our season. It's always tough to get to that point, and most teams do end their seasons with a loss. But it's really hard to just see the emotions of the girls and to know that there's been a lot of hard work put in and a lot of high expectations and pushing and grinding and just doing this together, and it's just never fun to see it come to an end.
Yeah, it ends abruptly, and then you realize you don't have practice the next day, and it hurts for a while there.
Yeah, it does. It does. But
how many seniors do you have, Scott?
Yeah, we have 4 seniors.
Okay.
Christian Milbrandt came out for us. She was out in junior high and came out again this year. Abby Hamlin was another one that came out. Was out most of her career, did not play last year, but came out again this year, had a nice season. Callie Kahn has been with us since a freshman, has been a key factor to our team. And then Raya Borstead, we call her the old lady of the team because she's been with us from every step of the way.
Yep.
So all of them will be missed, and we're great contributors in their own way to our team.
Right, all right. All right, then. When you have a banquet scheduled yet, Scott, for your end?
Yep, we do. Tomorrow, Sunday, we have our banquet, and to wrap things up, hand out awards, all of that good stuff. So we've got some pretty cool news for some of the kids, and we get to celebrate, you know, the work that they put in. And then on Wednesday of this coming week, we start our Milan Legion Crusher softball season. That's our summer team. So we play every Wednesday night, and go to a couple tournaments as well, so we can expose them to some higher level competition as well.
Okay. Yeah, busy summer coming up. So.
Yep, you bet.
That summer league, is that area, how does that work again?
Yeah, so it's just a couple of years ago, there's some opportunities to go places, but it's never, you always have to go somewhere. And so I had reached out to a few different schools, and we've kind of built baseball has a Legion program.
Yep.
Well, softball has started this as well. And so we kind of have a semi-Legion program where this year there's 8 teams that are in it, and we just go and play different teams from the area, doubleheaders on Wednesday nights, so the girls get a chance to grow and keep playing, and us coaches get a chance to see what's coming up when the seniors have moved on, and try to experiment with a few different things, and then I take our kids to some summer tournaments as well. So this year we're going to a 3-day tournament in Morris, and then we're also going to try something new this year. We're going to go to a tournament in Minnewaska. So our grades 4 through 6 will play there. Our C squad team will play there, and then our varsity team will play there in both places. So they get to play. I mean, some of the teams that come are all-star teams where they pull in girls from different towns, and it's higher level stuff that we get to expose the kids to. And you know, I'd say over the years we've done a pretty good job competing in those situations, and if nothing else, it shows the girls where we're trying to get to as well.
Okay. All right. Real good, Scott. Thanks for being on the Coach's Show every Saturday morning. And, hey, we'll wrap up that season next Saturday after the banquet, okay?
That sounds great. I appreciate it, as always.
All right. That's Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the La Capra Valley softball team. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
The La Capra Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Trigasad Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Trigger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Kittle Equipment, Piotta Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, the Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors for, and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club. We
got a good day. The Meat Center in Appleton, where quality meets convenience. At the Meat Center, they take pride in their in-house retail products, made with care and expertise. Whether you're looking for a juicy steak, tender pork chops, or succulent lamb, the Meat Center in Appleton has you covered. With options for quarter, half, or whole portions, you can customize your order to suit your needs. They're open Monday through Fridays, 8 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 8 till noon. Experience the difference at the Meat Center in Appleton. Your satisfaction is our priority. We've got a good thing going on. It's graduation time when yesterday's proud moments and happy memories meet tomorrow's bright hopes and dreams. Congratulations to the area graduates from Ludvigson Tiling in Madison.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lockport Valley Baseball with head coach Darby Biergang. Good morning, Darby.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, well, the season started and cold, windy most of the season, and all of a sudden the season ends abruptly.
It did, and it you're right. It started cold and windy and felt like winter, and it ended feeling like middle of August. So quite the change.
That's for sure. Well, I know we got a lot of section playoff games to talk about. Let's get started here.
Yep, correct. Let's start with last Saturday. Our first game was against RCW to start off the home three games we had that we hosted. We faced RCW with the 11 o'clock game. We ended up with an 8-0 win. We scored 8 runs on 13 hits, and we committed 2 errors. On the day, Gavin Mortensen was 2-for-4 with 2 runs and a stolen base. Grant Bierke had a big day at the plate. He was 3-for-4 with a run. It was a home run, and he had 2 RBIs. Nolan Smith was 2-for-4 with 2 runs. Jackson Fernalds was 1-for-2 with a run. Gavin Meyer, coming back from his ACL second game back, went 1-for-3 with a run. The hit he had was a double, and scored an RBI. Ethan Fernalds was 1-for-4, and Carter Moen was 1-for-3 with a run. Pitching was kind of the story of that game. Starting on the mound for us was Nolan Smith. He went 5 innings, striking out 10, only giving up 1 hit, no runs. And Gavin Meyer came in for 2 innings, striking out 3, no hits, no runs, and no earned runs. So that is always a scary game. We got it off with a win, and you had to win that game to keep playing. So that was a good win to get and make it to the double elimination bracket.
That's right.
Our next game, YME ended up beating Central Minnesota Christian, so we faced YME in the last game of the day at Madison Memorial Baseball Field, and we came up on the short end on that game, losing 8-1 to Yellow Medicine East. We had 1 run on 6 sets, and it was the 5 errors that kind of got us in this game. So on the day, Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-3, Grant Bierke was 1-for-4, Nolan Smith was 1-for-3, Brant Schomer was 1-for-3 with a run, Jackson Fernalds was 1-for-2, and Ethan Fernalds was 1-for-2 with a RBI sacrifice fly. Jackson Fernalds started on the mound for us. He went 1 1/3, walking 2, giving up 4 hits, 5 runs, and they were 5 earned. Carter Moen came in relief. He pitched 5 2/3, striking out 3, walking 5, giving up 3 hits, 3 runs, and 2 of those were earned. So kind of the story of the game there, we didn't play clean baseball. And if we don't play clean baseball in playoffs, it's rare that you can come out on the top side of that game. So that was our first loss in playoffs, and we knew that it was win or go home after that, and that brought us to Tuesday. Down in Milroy versus Canby, who we faced earlier in the year, and we beat them earlier in the year 10-0. So we didn't know what to expect because we knew Canby was still a pretty solid team from all the other scores we'd seen in the day or in the year. We came out on that game with a 5-1 win. We had 5 runs on 9 hits and only committed 1 error in that game. Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-4 with a stolen base. Grant Bierke was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Nolan Smith was 1-for-3 with 1 run. Brent Schomer was 2-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Jackson Fernholz went 1-for-2 with 1 run and 1 RBI. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Ethan Fernholz was 1-for-2 with an RBI. And Carter Moen was 1-for-2 as a double, and he scored a run. Nolan Smith started on the mound with us and gave us everything that we needed out of him. He threw 7 innings, struck out 8, walked 3, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, and it was earned. I believe he had him, Camby no hit through 4, and then he gave up his first hit. Actually, Camby scored their run without having a hit on the board yet. Mm-hmm. So, another nice outing by Nolan Smith, to get us to 2-1 in playoffs and live another day, so to speak. So, and that brought us to Thursday versus Adrian, who we saw earlier in the year, so we kind of knew what they had, and we'd saw their pitcher before. It was an exciting game at the beginning, and then in the third inning we kind of got away from us. So we ended up losing that game 10-4. We had 4 runs on 4 hits, committed 2 errors. Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Grant Bierke was 1-for-2 as a double. He scored a run. Nolan Smith was 1-for-3. Brant Schomer 1-for-4. Tanner Tilbury had a sacrifice fly with an RBI. Jackson Fernholz scored a run. Easton Fernholz scored a run. And Carter Moen scored a run. In that fourth inning, we were up 3-2 in the fourth inning. Adrian put up 7. There was a close play at first with the double play that we thought could have gone our way, but it didn't, and then it just kind of snowballed there for a little bit. And if it wasn't for that inning, it would have been much tighter game. So, mm-hmm. But that is baseball. That's why they have those things in the book, and things happen. So starting on the mound for us that day was Carter Moen. He went 2 1/3. He struck out 1, no walks, 4 hits, 5 runs. They were 4 earned out of those 5. Gavin Meyer came in for a third of an inning. He struck out 1, walked 3. Gave up a hit, gave up 5 runs, none earned. And Jackson Fernholz closed out a solid day for us on the mound, going 3 1/3, striking out 3, walking 1, 1 hit, no runs, and no earned. So unfortunate that was the end of our season. Finished the year 13-8, but it was a fun ride with these guys and a fun team to coach.
That's right. I know we'll wrap up the season next Saturday, but talk about how many seniors did you have, Darby?
Yeah, so we had 3 seniors on the team this year. Nolan Smith, Brant Schomer, and Malcolm Lilliard. So those are our 3 seniors that we want to thank and send well wishes as they move on with the rest of their careers, whether it be going to school, the workforce, or playing baseball.
Yep. Yeah, season goes fast, doesn't it, Darby?
It felt like we just started in March.
Yep. Yeah, you get real cold weather most of the spring, and then yesterday probably playing in, 90-degree heat or something.
I think we were bumping on 90 degrees, yep.
Yeah. All right. How did the JV do during the season?
You know, they were, we don't always get full games in with them, but I want to say that they finished around 500, give or take a few games here or there. We got some good up-and-coming talent there, too. So, and the junior high, same thing. They had a really, really good year down at junior high. They were well above 500, and I know there's a lot of guys itching to get up to the JV and varsity level at that level, too.
Okay. All right. Like I said, next Saturday we'll take a lot more time and wrap up the baseball season, and appreciate you taking the time now to talk about this past week. Section playoffs.
Yeah.
Section games are a lot different than regular season games. You feel the pressure more, don't you?
There's a lot more intensity, and that's what we want, though. I mean, that's how you learn your nerves, and you learn how to control those nerves. So,
all right. Thanks, Darby, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Darby Birgon, head coach of the La Caparal Valley baseball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Head to your local Toro dealer, Doug's Service and Marine in Kami, during the Toro Spring Sales event for incredible savings on select Toro zero-turn mowers. When it comes to taking care of your acreage, there's nothing like the MyRide suspension that lets you float above the bumps and rough terrain. Visit Doug's Service and Marine in Kami today for the best sales, service, and expert advice around. Toro, count on it. The La Caparal Corn and Soybean Growers congratulates the following La Caparal Valley graduates: Macy Zarbach, Megan Williamson, Catherine Alstead, Preston Strand, Caden Stender, Nolan Smith, Caden Smith, and Anthony Schultz. Congratulations on your outstanding achievement. Looking back, it was all worth it. Wishing you all the best in the career you have chosen. This graduation salute comes to you from the Lac qui Parle Corn and Soybean Growers.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lac qui Parle Valley Dawson Boyd Boys Tennis, and we're going to wrap up the season with head coach Austin Ireland. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you remember the first day of tennis practice in the this spring?
Yeah.
And it goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah. Once it's nice out, the season's over.
Yep. Yeah, you battled the weather this year, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a good year, though. You know, it was, you know, we had to replace six seniors we graduated last year, and we had a lot of guys step up, and yeah, it was overall a good year.
All right. Let's wrap up that season, then, and talk some about some of your players.
All righty. Yeah, well, we started our first match of the year. We hosted on our first time hosting in about 5 years on a beautiful seven new courts out there. We played them on a video, and we ended up, in a snowy battle, we ended up losing to them 6-0. We didn't quite finish it. And then we lost to a couple top conference teams, 7-0, Milwaukee and London. And we went to Sioux Falls and played Pipestone neutral site, beat them 7-0. And then we beat YME at YME 6-1. And then we ended up losing to Benson 7-0. That ended our conference. Then we had a lot of really fun matches in the non-conference. Lost to Milbank, South Dakota 6-3, Worthington 5-2, Osaka 4-3. And then a lot of three-setters with Wilmer. We closed off our regular season against a loss to Redwood, and who was the eventual section champions again. And we ended up with this number 5 seed. We traveled to Montevideo in the first round, losing to them 6-0. And, it was windy. It started out with snow, and it just got windy, and the wind kind of stayed around. And, but then we had the individual tournament last week, and we had three guys get past the first round. Our Hudson Giese and Aiden Menning, our two singles players, and then our double team of Thomas Felton and Brody Nelson. They got past the first round, but they all lost and ended up losing the second round and did not advance to the big dance. Which, you know, not everyone does that, you know, but we had a lot of good jobs stepping up. Starting with our top, Hudson Giese, he played some doubles last year, third year out, played number one singles for us all year, did a really nice job, just building and building. He worked hard in the off season and ended up earning all conference in the West Central Conference, which is just a juggernaut. That's a really tough conference we're in. Ended up getting all conference there, and did overall just a nice job. Another kid who stepped up is big for us this year was Aiden Menning. He went from third doubles to second singles and, you know, played pretty really well. He's a senior too. We'll miss him. He went past the first round in the section tournament. That's a pretty tough thing to do there.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then, I'll kind of go through our lineup throughout the year. Pepe Martin, he was a foreign exchange student out of Spain. He stayed with Chris and Susie Olsen out there, not too far from the school, and he did a nice job stepping. So we lost our entire singles lineup, so we needed some guys. He had some good strokes, but, you know, kind of the gameplay was kind of new to him, but he had a fun experience. Aaron Will was our fourth singles player for most of the year. Aaron was a freshman, good athlete. He had really competitive matches. We just got to figure out how to finish points off. Really excited to have him back. We'll have him back next year, and be fighting for top spots. A couple of our doubles guys, our one doubles, Brody Nelson and Thomas Felton, those are two seniors we're going to miss dearly. They did a nice job at one doubles for us this year. Kind of gelling a little bit. Tommy played two. Brody played one last year. We had Brody. He was came a long way. He was our lone seventh. He was out in seventh grade and stuck it out through all these years. So I'm going to got really used to him and going to miss him. Coming up, and Thomas too. He came out. I don't know what in ninth grade maybe or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of seniors with a lot of court experience that we're gonna be missing. But our second doubles team, we had Thatcher Johnson. He's a second year player, and Gannon Deesing. both they're both football players and basketball players for Dawson Boyd. Good athlete. This is Gannon's first year out, in fact, your second year out, and they had a lot of really, really, really close matchups. You know, they you count on them to be competitive throughout the, sometimes we wouldn't quite always get the win there, but a lot of 7-5s, a lot of tiebreakers, a lot of three setters. So keep them hungry, keep them fighting. They'll be a good tandem to come in the future if they just step out in the courts a little bit here and there and continue to grow. And then our third doubles, we switched things up a little bit. Landon Herson was third doubles pretty much all year. We started the year with Cole Percy. He's a senior. He ended up tearing his ACL, so he only got a couple matches out of the year. And then we had Zane Gilman. He was a senior when he graduated. He had a few matches in there as well. And then Bentley Bergstrom, first year out, he was out there a little bit. And then, but most of the time it was Max Boston. Max, the freshman. And Landon, they probably didn't gel as well as some of the other ones, but I think individually, Landon did a really good job of lobbing, and Max did a pretty good job at attacking the net. So I think, we could work on some things, but they did a nice job for us at three doubles. I just really appreciate all the hard work these guys put in, and really the hardest part was, bearing through the weather.
Right.
That was unpredictable at times.
Windy.
The wind would be blowing. Yeah, wind would be blowing one direction, and then come back 2 days later and pull them the other way. So,
okay.
In the cold. But, yeah. And then, another thing I want to say, a big thanks to Brandon Hurley. This is, I guess, his 10th year as an assistant coach. He did a really nice job. He does a lot of good job with the kids. And really thankful for him, having him out there again. And just did a nice job again for the I don't want to say bad guys, but the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the good guys now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you have a JV or anything, or junior high program, or
not really have a whole lot of numbers. We had Carson Grant. He was out. He's a seventh grader. He made it first day of practice, and he broke a bone in his hip.
Oh no!
So that kind of and then with Cole with his ACL, we didn't really have a whole lot of. We switched the lineup a little bit, with Bentley and Zane a little bit. A couple of guys, Cole, Max. We'd get a little bit of exhibition matches JV in, but. Didn't have a whole lot of straight junior high matchups. So
okay, good.
Be nice to get back into that. But,
right. All right.
We had a manager this year. I was spoiled this year. We had a manager, Maya Birgi. She played on the girls team, and she's a senior. But it was kind of spoiled to have a great assistant coach in Brandon, and then a nice manager too in Maya. It was kind of 7 brand new courts. I must be doing something right.
Yeah, you got the program going in the right direction there, Austin. So. Hey, congratulations on a great season. Appreciate you taking the time every Saturday morning visiting with us. And I thank you for always texting me the results. Austin always texts me the book when they're done, and I can get it on my sports report in the morning. I appreciate that, Austin.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
And, all right. Anything else? We touched on everything there.
No, it's good. It should be good. Like I said, really happy with those 7 courts out there, but I gotta be careful now. My wife's gonna, she just got a job there. She'll be teaching there this fall, so
at La Caparo?
At La Caparo, so I got other eyes on me, so I gotta be on my best behavior now. So
yes, you do.
I got too many eyes watching.
All right, thanks, Austin. We'll talk to you next year.
Thank you.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the La Caparo Valley Dawson Boyd boys tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
The La Caparo Corn and Soybean Growers congratulates the following La Caparo Valley graduates: Macy Zarbach, Megan Williamson, Catherine Alstead, Preston Strand, Caden Stender, Nolan Smith, Caden Smith, and Anthony Schultz. Congratulations on your outstanding achievement. Looking back, it was all worth it. Wishing you all the best in the career you have chosen. This graduation salute comes to you from the La Caparo Corn and Soybean Growers.
And that'll wrap up another Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, we'll have baseball for you at noon today. Dawson Boyd taking on Murray County Central in the Section 3A semifinals. The winner of the game today will play in the Section Championship game next week. First pitch, noon today, from the Irish Yard in Milroy. And also we'll have head coach Molly Hennin wrap up the La Caparra Valley boys volleyball season next Saturday. The boys were at Benilde St. Margaret on Thursday, and they fell to the Red Knights, 3-0 to end their season. What a fantastic season, though, for the La Caparra Valley boys volleyball team in their inaugural season in the Minnesota State High School League. And we'll hear from Coach Hennin next Saturday. Thanks for listening, everyone. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join Bart Hill and me Saturday at noon for Section 3A baseball playoffs when the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks take on the Maury County Central Rebels in the winner's bracket. The winner of that game Saturday will play for a section championship game next week. First pitch noon from the Irish Yard outside of Milroy. That's Saturday, noon, Dawson Boyd and Maury County Central in section baseball. Tune in.